with me the book of 1 John, chapter 5. John, chapter 5. 1 John. I know this is a very familiar verse with all of you. You've read it over and over, and I don't have anything to say that you probably don't already know. But this is, as I've already said, written not merely by John, but by the Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit inspires him. So we have the accreditation of God through the Spirit as to make this credible, to make it come from the authority of God. These things have I written. He wrote them, but under inspiration. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Written them unto you that believe. The Scriptures. How we ought to value the Scriptures. We ought to value every word, in that it comes from God Himself. And there, all the letters of the New Testament are written to believers. Believers. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. I read one time where a fellow said that he wouldn't take the world in exchange for one page of the Bible. Valued it so highly. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, I said that all the letters of the New Testament are written to those that believe, called to be saints. All those at Philippi, he said, along with the bishops and the deacons. These are not letters that are written to everybody. They're not written to everybody. Written to those who are called to be saints. And if a person is not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and he reads this, he's reading the letter that's written to somebody else, not him. That's a hard statement, isn't it? But what does it say? It says, "These things have I written unto you that believe." You that believe. Now, if a man's not a believer and he reads this, he's reading a letter written to someone else. It's not written to him. But thank God, he's permitted to read it, isn't he? He's permitted to read it, but it's not written to him. And if he's not a believer, he won't be very interested in what it's got to say. He won't understand it. For the first, that'll be the first thing. He just won't understand what's going on. It'll be a lot of words to him. Well, a man can read it, though. Can read the Bible. Everyone ought to read the Bible. And if a man would take up reading the Bible, it may be that God would, from the very part that he's reading, use that to bring him, to create within him a desire and fill the void that's in him. Make him to know something of the love of God in Christ Jesus. Make him to believe. Over in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, I believe. There's something there. I'll read that to you. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received that gospel that Paul preached to them, the gospel concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they believed. That's what they received. It says, by which also ye are saved. You keep in memory, hold fast, what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and how that He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. It's all according to the Scriptures. If a man is reading the Scriptures, it may please God to reveal unto him who the Christ of God is according to the Scriptures. Now, there's many people believe in Jesus today, but not according to the Scriptures. See what I'm saying? And as a matter of fact, the majority of the churches, they have a lot of good things to say about Jesus, but they don't believe and receive the Jesus according to the Scriptures. And they say that in these first four or five verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is the definition of the gospel. They say this is what you got to believe, that Christ died and was buried and rose again. They say that's the gospel. Well, that is the gospel according to the Scriptures, as the Scriptures interprets the Christ. Who is He? Who sent Him? What did He come to do? Did He do it? Who did He do it for? All these things are involved according to the Scriptures. So, we thank God that even though this was not written to unbelievers, it was written to believers, but unbelievers are permitted to read it, though they cannot make sense out of it or understand it to the saving of the soul anyhow, but it might please God to do something for them. Well, anyhow, if it would, if God was pleased to do something for them, then this book would become their book, see? And this promise to these, they might have, they might be, God might be pleased to bring them into that number. And then they could read it with joy, and they could take great hope and courage in the promises of God. The promises are to those that believe. That's all they are to it. No mistake about that. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. We'll talk about that in a minute. But he had an objective in writing to them. He had a purpose in writing. You know, if you're writing a letter, if you have no reason to write it, it won't be much of a letter, will it? You generally got to have a reason. Because if you just take a blank sheet of paper out and figure you've got to fill that space up with something, it won't be much of a letter at the end. You've got to have a reason for writing it. Now, the object of John's writing this letter was, "These things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God." Those who are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Those that know Him. Those that trust Him. Trust Him and Him alone. Those that believe on Him according to the Scriptures. Who He is. What He done. Why He done it. And so forth. His object is that they may know. His object is that they might have full assurance of faith. Someone said one time that full assurance is not essential to salvation. Well, I don't know all the answers, but I know this: it's essential to satisfaction. It's essential to divine comfort and satisfaction that you might know Him, know where you stand in your relationship with God. See? "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, that you may know ye have eternal life." Many, 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 many people in our day, 20th century, they don't know. They believe in Jesus, they said. "Certainly I believe in Jesus, but I don't know that I have eternal life. I hope I do. I hope I do. I don't know. I believe in Jesus, but I don't know I have eternal life. I only hope so." Well, that's not what he's talking about here. His reason for writing is that these who believe in Jesus might know they have eternal life. I remember years and years ago, I stopped up there at that gas station to get some gas or something. And they got to talking in there. They said, "You're the preacher up there," and this and that. And I said, "Yeah." "Well," they said, "they tell me that you believe, you preach that a man has eternal life and know he has eternal life and know he's saved and all that." And they said, "We know that ain't so. One fella never heard me preach. I doubt if he'd ever been to church. Dead and gone now. But he argued with me. He argued with me. You can't know that you're saved. You can't know that you're saved. You ain't supposed to know that you're saved. You won't know that you're saved until it's all over with." Well, that ain't so. That ain't so. That's what he's writing about here. I write these things. We'll get back to that in just a minute. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." Might know it. "Well, I believe in Jesus, but I don't know it. I hope I have it." Well, he would have us to know it. And he would have us to know for a certainty that we're partakers of the Son, the Lord. "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life, and the wrath of God abideth on him." So he wrote for a special purpose, didn't he? "These things are written that you might have it." We can be sure. And we can be sure of that the means used by the Spirit are equal to the effect which He desires. Down here in verse 1, He says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ." Now you remember, according to the Scriptures, there's many Christs. Mexico is full of Jesuses. I told you about that fellow that plays basketball for Providence. He changed his name to God. God Cham God's his name. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ. Now you believe that Jesus is the Christ, don't you? That means that He is the Anointed One. That God anointed Him. That God sent Him. God commissioned Him. God appointed Him. That's what that means. He comes with the backing, the authority of God Himself. It says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is Christ, said He's born of God. If he believes that God sent him as a messenger of the covenant to represent those that the Father chose in eternity past. He come to call out a people for his name. You see, the great mistake of the 20th century and 20th century religion is that people are led to believe that God is trying to save everybody. Ever remember Adam's fallen race? He's trying to save them, but he can't save them. But that's not the purpose of God. In our time, He's calling out a people that He chose. He's calling them out. We don't know who they are, so we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And whoever receives Him, according to the Scriptures, believes that God sent Him to be their Savior. They believe that because they're born of God. They're born of God. Born again, Jesus Himself said. Well, I say, do you believe that Jesus is the Anointed of God? Is He so to you? Is He your prophet? Is He your priest? Is He your king? Do you receive, or have you received, the Lord Jesus Christ as the Anointed of God to be the mediator between your soul and God the Father? Do you believe and have you received Him as the propitiation for your sins, your Savior alone? If you believe that He is the Christ, He's your prophet and your priest and your king, and He's anointed of God and sent of God, then you're born of God. Dear soul said one time, said, I know that I love Jesus. But my greatest fear is that He doesn't love me. Now, how can that be? How can that be? We love Him. Why do we love Him? Because He first loved us. Now, we have the witness of the Word of God. If we love Him, it's the result of Him first loving us. If we cherish Him, if the gospel is sweet music to our ears, if we could go to church Sunday after Sunday where the gospel wasn't preached and still be satisfied, we wouldn't be born of God. We couldn't say we love the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what makes my heart heavy and sad for this generation. Churches filled with people on Sunday morning and there's no gospel preached, and they say they love Jesus. You, You're born, if man's born of God, one of the evidence that he is born of God is that he loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God first loved him. He found that out. He may not have found that out right off of the bat, but sooner than you think, that man will find out that God loved him in eternity past if he believes in the Jesus of the Scriptures. I know I love Jesus, but my fear is that he doesn't love me. Well, if I love him, I know it's because he first loved me. Love to God in us is always the work of God's love toward us. Always, in every case. If there's an ounce of the love of God in us, it's the work of God towards us. That's all there are to it. Well, listen now, and I'll quit. He says, "These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God." Now, we understand that he's writing to believers here. He's writing to poor, poor sinners, has no good in themselves, no merit in themselves to commend themselves to God. They've acknowledged it. They've bowed before him and cried out, "My God, have mercy on me, a sinner." They're believers. They're trusting in him. Him alone, they clinging to him. Hell or high water, he's theirs. They can't give him up, won't give him up. They're not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They're believers, true believers. They're going to endure to the end. God's going to see to it that they do. He that endures to the end, they're going to be one of them. They're trusting in him to get them through every deep water and every trial and every trouble and every difficulty. They're trusting in him to get them through to the other side. They're going to make it. They know they're going to make it. They're believers. Believers. That's who he's writing to. Believers. Believers. Put that. My dad used to put that in your pipe and smoke it. That's what I'm saying. Take it and believe it. He's writing here to believers. You're not a believer. If you're not a believer, then you're reading another man's letter. If you desire to be one of those to whom this is written to be the recipients of these promises, may God cause you to cry out in your soul, "God, make me a believer. Make me a believer." All right, these believers. That these believers may know that you have eternal life. That's assurance, isn't it? Assurance of faith. That I might know it. I might know it. Make me happy. Make me happy. I can be down and be sad. And be down on everything and everybody. But if something will whisper to me this blessed truth about the assurance of faith, that come what may, hell or high water, I have the sure. I got him. I got him. If I got him, I got everything. See? I know it. I got him. Things can't get too bad if I got him. Listen. Well, I was reading down here. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is Christ is born of God. Now, and everyone that loveth him. Now we got the witness of God right here. We got the witness of God right here. If a man believes that Jesus is the Christ, God said he's born of God. He's been born from above. Because only those that are born from above will respond to him. God did something for them. He deposited grace in their hearts. He made them to see their need of the Lord Jesus. They seen their need. They found out who he was. That he met their needs. Fulfilled all their needs. He believed that he came from God. Now, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. That is, do you love his people? That's what that means. Do you love his people? Do you love those that are begotten of him? Love his people. That's an evidence. That's a sign that a man's a believer. That he loves other believers. That is, if they're believers according to the Scriptures. Just to say I believe in Jesus doesn't make you a believer. Many, what Jesus are you talking about? See? By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep His commandments. We're not keeping His commandments in order to find favor with Him. We keep His commandments because we're born of God. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith that's born. Faith that's born of God. And who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God, that he's the Christ? Well, I'll read that 10th verse or 9th verse. If ye receive the witness of men, that is, if I was to come to you and say, well, I believe you give evidence of being a Christian. Well, that's good. If you believe that, that'd be fine. But he said, if you receive the witness of men, the witness of God's greater. And this is the witness of God. He said, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed of God and sent of God to be the Savior of them that God sent Him to save, you're born of God. You're born from above. That's God's witness. If you receive the witness of men, the witness of God's greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. Now listen again. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. The Spirit of God witnesses with his Spirit. He that believeth not God, man that doesn't believe God, that God sent his Son, they say, well, I have no interest in him. Well, then you don't believe God. This is the record. God hath made him a liar. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave to his Son. And this is the record. This is the record that God hath given to us. Hath given to us. Past tense. Eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things that I've read to you, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Well, I started out by saying it was written to the believers. Now, if a man somehow was involved in reading a will. And he began to read that will. And he found as he went along reading the various words in that will uninteresting. I have no interest in it. There's legal terms here and words that I don't understand, and I'm not going to take the trouble to find out what they mean. They don't seem to have any bearing on me anyhow. But while reading this will, this man comes upon a portion of that will, a clause in that will, in which he finds out that the whole estate that the will is talking about is left up to him. Then I guarantee you, that whole will becomes important, and it's very interesting to him then. And that's the way it is here. When we find out that this was written to us, write these things unto you that believe, that ye may know ye have eternal life. Then we become interested, don't we? Every promise in the pages of this book are for you and I, every one of them. In particular, in the New Testament here. God help us to value the Scriptures. Value the Scriptures. Read the Scriptures. Read them in light of them being yours, altogether yours. They're yours. God's writing to you, writing to me. Don't neglect them. Read them. Read them. Meditate upon them. Think about them. Try to understand them. Search the Scriptures. Let's stand. We'll meet again Sunday morning.